What is happening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Yes, Bro. So, very excited because this is actually my very first video podcast. I'm still playing with it, testing it, seeing how I do this so that it doesn't complicate my life. But yeah, this is the first one. So, here's my face, here's the voice, and here I am. And we're ready to do a fucking show. So, anyway, what's happening? What's the latest gossip? What's the 411? Tell me everything. What are the kids doing these days? I don't give a shit. Anyway, so every now and then I like to take a break from talking about fetishes, dating, sex, and all the other gay stuff and feature an episode on health and wellness. Now, between every virus, disease, and illness out there, our daily stressors and all the drugs, alcohol, and food we consume, it's important for us to take care of our health. So today we're talking about acupressure and ancient Chinese medicine. Woo! So before you roll your eyes or think, oh God, this shit's fucking boring, I'm not here to listen to anything about health, I highly suggest that you fucking do. So I want to remind you that I don't benefit from being boring, because if I'm boring, you guys shut this shit off and don't fucking listen. And if you know me by now, if you've been listening enough by now, you'd know that I'm not boring. So anyway, this episode, it's a good one. I promise. My guests and I, we talk about America's dependency on over-the-counter drugs, how our bodies store sadness in our hips. Did you know that? The benefits of crying. Who doesn't love a good cry? Men and their fear of being emotional. So stupid. Understanding trauma and how it affects our behaviors. Understanding yin and yang, you know, that black and white circle thing, that it's like the thing, like I didn't know what the fuck it was until I sat down and had this interview. And also how acupressure counteracts and facilitates all of the things I just mentioned and so much more. So my guests this episode are the creators of a mobile application called Moxa. That's M as in Mary, O as in oh my gosh, and X as in x-ray, and A, Moxa. So Moxa was created by licensed acupuncturist Katie Pedrick and CEO Alan Lee. Moxa is loaded with guided acupressure sessions where you use your fingers to massage and activate pressure points in your body. Now, you have pressure points throughout your body, whether it's your temples, whether it's here, whether it's your prostate. Now, what you do is that you massage and you activate these pressure points in your body to help you restore and balance yourself. The app is great. I highly recommend downloading it. It's fucking fantastic. It's loaded with tons of useful information and lots of beautiful graphics all throughout. Wait, hold up my script. Sorry, I can't memorize all of this. So there are tons of guided sessions throughout the app that are tailored to your needs. Whether you're trying to take control over your sexual health, your insomnia, or your digestion, there's a guided session for you. You can do all of these while at your desk, in bed, or even with a partner. Ooh. So I highly encourage you to take a break from Grindr, Tinder, Instagram, or whatever fucking lame app you're using and check it out for yourselves. Again, search Moxa in the App Store to download it onto your mobile device now or whenever you get a chance. So this episode is divided into three parts, in one, two, three. In the first one, we talk about acupressure, its history, and its health benefits. In the next section, we talk about the mental health benefits of acupressure, which there are tons. I'm like mind blown. Remember that thing about storing sadness in your hips? Yeah, that's a real thing. And in the last section, guest Katie will lead you through an acupressure session you can do at your desk to help clear your mind and relieve stress. So get ready, because you're about to learn more about your body than you ever probably have in your sad, pathetic little lives. So sit back, relax, drop your shoulders, unclench your jaw, take a deep breath in, let out a little fart, and get ready, because it's time for another episode of
Yes, Bro. Yes, Bro.
Yes, Bro.
Yes, Bro. Yes,
Bro.
All right, everyone. So say hello to Alan and Katie.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
I'll go ahead and let you guys introduce yourselves. Go ahead.
Sure. So my name's Katie Pedrick. I'm a licensed acupuncturist and herbalist in Boston. I guess a little bit about my background as well to give a full introduction. So I started my career very much in Western medicine. I was doing cancer research and pharmaceutical research, and then became sort of disenchanted with a lot of the pharmaceuticals that we use and turned to Eastern medicine and Chinese medicine. Went to acupuncture school. It was the best choice ever, which I'm sure we're going to talk a lot about. And then opened my own clinic in Boston, where I've been practicing for about 7 years. And Alan and I met when he was originally sort of one of my clients. And then together we created an app to help people get the benefits of acupuncture at home.
Hey, everyone. My name is Alan. And as Katie mentioned, I was actually one of her patients when I was going to business school in Boston. But quick background on myself. Grew up with Eastern medicine, obviously with Asian parents, had done acupressure. My sister has a PhD in traditional Chinese medicine. I took a more traditional path in terms of my career when I grew up. I'm a recovering investment banker. I spent about four years in finance and quickly realized, you know, this is not what I want to do for the rest of my life. And I wanted to do something or create something that helped people, and was in business school for a couple of years and had been getting acupuncture from Katie. And, you know, due to COVID-19 and the pandemic, it sort of was a perfect storm, and we turned lemons to lemonade with what we built. But now on a mission to spread the good word of what we've been working on in Eastern medicine and helping more people.
No, that's great. Congrats, guys. By the way, I downloaded the app. I started flipping through it, and I was amazed at how like it walks you through all these different steps to get to know the patient, I guess. And it made me like think about like, oh God, like, am I as healthy as I think I am?
Yeah, that's one of the sort of key features of the app. So something that's really different about the way you think about health and wellness in Eastern medicine, so Chinese medicine versus Western medicine, which is more traditional American medicine, is that we really look at your whole body and things that we don't necessarily think of as being, you know, full problems in Western medicine can indicate different imbalances in Chinese medicine. So when someone comes into the app, they go through a series of questions, which it sounds like you're talking about, which I believe is about 25 questions long. So it's reasonably extensive, but the purpose of that is that it helps us to get a really good idea of how your body is working. And so that's everything from how many hours of sleep you're getting a night. Are you having trouble falling asleep or staying asleep? How often do you poop? How do you ever have bloating or gas? I know some people like to think the poop part's a little bit funny, but it's actually really important because your digestion is the foundation of health. So in Western medicine, we don't really think about those things as being key indicators of health. And it's not that you know, having something that's a little bit off there can mean that you're terribly sick, but it just gives us an idea of where things could be improved. And so going through those questions helps us to get a good idea of your body so that we can give you these really customized diet, lifestyle, acupressure suggestions so that we can get your body to its absolute best state of health, even if you're not actively sick. So I'm sure you're still very healthy, but almost nobody is perfectly in balance at any point.
I sip my Red Bull, you know. And eat my Skittles. I'm very healthy.
We call that balance.
Rosé is good for mental health too sometimes.
So. It is. Exactly. It is. You know what? Today I went to the gym. I was there for almost 2 hours, got in a good workout, and now I'm having Red Bull. And yesterday I was drinking Rosé. It's balance.
Exactly.
Do at the gym, Jonathan.
What did I do at the gym? I did everything. So I used to be in CrossFit. So cool. New York CrossFits are so like expensive. Yeah. So I settled for a gym, and like I'll follow like a few like WOD or workout pages on Instagram, and then I'll do the water. I'll take the pieces that I want, and then I'll just do that, and then I'll do some free weights. And that's it. I hate using machines. I need to be throwing something in the air. I need to be like adding more weight to the barbell and like squatting as heavy as I possibly can. That's how I, you know, I stay interested.
Yeah. No, I did some CrossFit too, and it's definitely a lot more fun. Katie, I know Pat does CrossFit, and he's like a trainer too, which is like, he's really good. Yeah,
Pat, my husband, used to coach CrossFit. Now he coaches like just Olympic weightlifting, and he's a good Olympic. He's like a competitive Olympic weightlifter. I was also the acupuncturist for Reebok HQ for a while, which means that I worked with a lot of the top level CrossFit athletes and all of the people who train the CrossFit trainers.
Oh, wow.
So we have been deep in the CrossFit space over here.
That's awesome. But anyway, so tell us more about the app.
So the goal of the app is really to help people to improve their holistic health. And I know that sounds really vague, but the difference is that we're really looking at health with this big picture lens. So sort of the way I was talking before about how your digestive system and your sleep and your stress sort of all play into your health. It's because everything in your body is related. None of your systems act in isolation. You know, your mind is connected to your body, your digestive system is connected to stress, and all of these things play together. And I think that in, you know, more traditional Western models, we sometimes lose those connections because, you know, doctors are super specialized and you have someone who looks just at your digestive system, someone who looks just at your heart, you have your PCP who sort of refers you around. And there aren't many people who look at the system as a whole. And that's really where Eastern medicine shines. And so what this app is doing is taking that bird's eye whole view of your body and saying, you know, you're in great health, but we can improve it here. You know, if you were to switch to eating cooked food instead of raw food, that's something that's going to work better for your digestive system just because of how things are working for you. You know, we really think that adding a meditation practice is going to make a big difference for you because we can see that stress is affecting your body in a specific way. Or we can tell that doing acupressure on these points is, you know, statistically shown to help improve your sleep by X percent, depending on what the pattern looks like for you to begin with. So we're really taking this whole level look, and then we create a complete wellness plan for you once you come into the app. So there's guided acupressure sessions, which are, have you ever done like Headspace or Calm or any of those meditation apps?
I've done Calm maybe a really long time ago. I think it was like a guided meditation thing to like get me to go to sleep.
Yeah. So this is sort of similar to what you maybe saw there in that there's a voice, which is actually Alan's very smooth voice.
Hello.
I know. Okay. He is our voice actor.
That is my voice. That's what happens when you're a startup.
So we have a voice that's going to talk you through where the different acupressure points are, how hard to press, how long to press there. And then simultaneously, there's going to be a visual guide on your phone. So it'll be an image of a body. There are all these really beautiful line drawings. With the points drawn on them. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, we really love the drawing. And it will, you know, have like calming music play in the background and give you sort of a whole experience. And what that's doing with the acupressure is giving you the benefits of acupressure, which are, you know, we can talk about the Chinese medicine and sort of how acupressure helps, but it helps to, you know, regulate your body systems. And it also has all the benefits of mindfulness and meditation all sort of packed into one. And then the app will also tell you what imbalances we're seeing in your body. And it'll give you a little rundown of what your diagnosis is. So it'll tell you what we're seeing, and then it'll give you sort of diet tips and lifestyle tips to help improve your health. Because what's right for you is not necessarily right for your best friend, because everybody's unique. And so we're really taking that perspective to making sure that you're getting the most targeted advice that you can get.
That's awesome. Whenever I have a headache, for example, or I feel any kind of pain that I'm like, oh my God, this is it. This is where I die. I just write it out, or like I take a nap, because I know that like after a while taking these pills and these meds, you, not that they become addictive, but you kind of develop that mentality of like, oh, let me just take a pill and get this over with. Mm-hmm. And there are so many people that I don't want to say become addicted to pills, but they see pills as like the only way to remedy whatever the hell they're feeling, whether it's a headache, whether it's a thing, you know, there are so many other things you can do. Oh, there was this one time that I had a headache and this kid told me, give me your hand. And he squeezed this nerve right here in my palm. And I was like, what are you doing? And he's like, did your headache go away? And I was like, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Magic.
Yeah, that's acupressure. That's acupressure. We think about things in Chinese medicine. We sort of divide things into what we call root and branch treatments. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if you and I have spoken about this before, but what that means is that there's the branch, which is the symptom that you're experiencing. So for you, mm-hmm. is your headaches, where you're feeling really uncomfortable in that moment. And then there are certain points that can address specifically that symptom. So they can make your headache feel better, or, you know, they could help you to fall asleep or whatever is going along for you specifically. And using those points can usually get changed really, really quickly. But then there's also what we call root treatments. And so root treatments look at the real underlying reason of why are you getting a headache? why are you having difficulty sleeping, and helps to address that imbalance. Because I think what people don't always think about is that whenever you're having these symptoms come up, that's always your body trying to tell you something. It's always a sign that there's something that's not quite right. And so for a headache, you know, that could be that you're stressed. It could be that your neck muscles are really tight. It could be that you're dehydrated. And those are all things that we sort of intuitively know, right? You think like, oh, I've got a headache because I'm dehydrated. But in that case, you could do acupressure to help with the headache and then try to drink water more in the future. But sometimes when it's something more systemic, like your digestion has been off for 3 or 4 years, and that's giving you headaches or migraines or whatever, then we can sort of address that more specifically than the dehydration, because you just need a little bit more than water to fix it.
Yeah. I mean, to break it down even further, if I may add, like the same way that like when we go to the bathroom and let's say, for example, we have diarrhea, our instant thought is, oh my God, I ate something bad. And sometimes it's not always that we ate something bad. It's just that we could have gotten a bug, or there's something wrong with our intestines or whatever. There may have been some sort of irritant. And the same way, I guess, that we self-diagnose when we have diarrhea.
Yeah.
I guess the same thing can apply to all other parts of our body whenever we're feeling or experiencing something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that just, you know, having optimal health is really about looking a little bit deeper at why those things are happening in your body, instead of just going, got a headache, better take some Advil, you know, and then just continually doing that all the time.
Got diarrhea, let's take some Imodium.
Exactly. Exactly.
I can count on one hand the amount of times I've taken Advil or Tylenol. And when I say that to some friends, they're just shocked, because they take it on not necessarily a daily basis, but almost like a weekly basis. And if it's ever, oh, I went out for drinking for a night, I'm just going to pop 2 Advils the next day, or 2 Tylenols or something like that. And I'm like, no, they are very effective drugs. But, you know, it's some people are also looking for more natural alternatives, and something, or a lot of people don't even realize that there are alternatives to, you know, over-the-counter drugs.
There's nothing wrong with taking medication when you need to take medication. In no way, shape, or form are we anti-medication. I just think that, like, your first line of defense should be, what can we do naturally to fix that?
Yeah, exactly.
I think we have the mindset in America can sometimes be really disempowering to people, where, you know, disease just happens to you and there's nothing you can do about it. But the reality is that, you know, research shows us that 90% of disease is preventable. And so what we need to be doing, in my opinion, is just educating people on how to better prevent disease and how to fix things when they're just a little bit wrong, you know, when maybe your stools are just a little bit loose, rather than waiting till the full-blown diarrhea and then having to take a pill.
Exactly.
You guys brought up a bunch of great things that I was like, oh my gosh, there's some real benefits to acupressure here. And you've spoken a little bit about on how it's preventative care. And so talk to us more.
Sure. Could talk for a long time. Be careful asking for that.
Well, I will interrupt with a stupid question here and there.
Please do. Please do. Well, we could maybe talk a little bit about how acupressure works, which I think is really imperative, because I think a lot of people think of Eastern medicine and acupuncture and acupressure as being a little out there, a little crazy. And I think that's because most of us don't grow up talking about energy flow in your body. And for anyone who isn't familiar, so the classical explanation of how acupuncture and acupressure work is that it's regulating energy meridians in your body. So the idea is that you have this vital life energy we call qi, and that flows through your body in channels. And the channels start in your internal organs and then extend out to your fingers and toes. And when we massage acupuncture points, those are places along the channel that you're most able to affect energy flow. So what we want to do is we want to keep flow moving, because when flow is moving, there's health. When things get stuck, that's when problems happen and you get symptoms. So massaging acupuncture points really helps to just rebalance that flow, to get your body into balance so that you can be maximally healthy. And all of that sounds really foreign and unusual, especially if that's not something that you talk about all the time. And if you are on board with the energy, I love it. That's great. That's usually the easiest way to explain it. But I think what a lot of people don't know is that there's actually an enormous amount of science to back up both acupuncture and acupressure. I know the first time I explained this to Alan, he was, even though he had grown up with Eastern medicine and with acupressure, he was so shocked to hear about the science behind it because, you know, in the like 70s when acupuncture came to America, we didn't have the science for it. And now we do. And a lot of that has to do with the physiology of your body, which is more than a tweet. So it's, you know, it's something that people have to hear in, you know, a podcast format instead of necessarily online. The quick version of it is that in between all of your muscles and organs, you have this connective tissue called fascia. It's this like filmy sort of clear tissue. Next time you eat like a steak or chicken, you can see it in between the layers of muscle. But this like, so it's this filmy, slimy connective tissue. And what that does, they used to believe that what this did was just reduce friction when muscles moved against each other. So it helped your body to not overheat when you breathe and all your organs move against each other when you run and your muscles move against one another. And what they've been finding out in the last like 10 or 15 years is that this tissue is actually very alive and changeable and moldable. And so it conducts electricity and it has to do, it can indicate how hormones move and signal in your body. And then interestingly, acupuncture points actually map with, I believe, 90% accuracy to places where these pieces of fascia overlap. So what happens when you put an acupuncture needle in or when you press on these points is it actually creates change in the tissue of the fascia. And so it can change how they're signaling electrically. It can change how they're signaling hormonally. It can change blood flow. And so when we think about acupuncture as having these really wide reaching systemic effects, it's because fascia is everywhere. And so when you create change in this tissue that, you know, the tissue in your arm is connected to the tissue in your shoulder, you can create change in the shoulder because you are actually working on the tissue of your shoulder just through sort of a distal end of it. Did that sort of make sense?
Yeah. I mean, don't ask me to re-explain it, but.
That's okay. So, and so there are some points that are like, yeah, no, don't worry. I'll be the one to explain it if people have questions. Okay.
Please.
But they're one of my favorite points to use in practice is there's a point on your shin, about halfway down your shin, which is really wonderful for shoulder pain, which sounds really crazy. But they have, if you can find images online of it, if you want, there's this one long band of fascia that wraps around the front side of your shin all the way up through the small of your back and then attaches on your shoulder. And so when you activate one end of that band of fascia, it releases the whole band, which lets you have greater mobility in your shoulder, which is also really great for CrossFitters. And we use it all the time on CrossFitters because it just helps to improve range of motion and blood flow and healing there, even though it's all the way down in your shin.
Learning so much.
Okay.
No, it's interesting because I actually meant to say this earlier, but I guess a lot of people have certain reservations about like a holistic approach to health and wellness because we're so used to taking a pill and that gives us the instant gratification or that instant fix. This has been remedied. I can move on with my life. Whereas I had an acupuncture membership for about a month and a half or so. And I would go weekly. They were running a special. I had done acupuncture once before that. And I was expecting for me to be feeling so much better. I had a stiff neck. I was taking like pain meds. It wasn't working. I was doing the patch. I was so desperate that I was like, let me try acupuncture. And after that one time, even they told me, they're like, it may help a little bit, but this is better if, and it's more effective if you do it more frequently. That's when you'll be able to really reap the benefits of this treatment. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly what you want, to take more of my money.
So the reason that they were telling you to come in repeatedly is, you know, depending on the reason that your neck was stiff, sometimes that's something they can fix in one session. You know, if a muscle's just in spasm, we can release the muscle spasm and then it feels better. But what happens more often is we sort of get into these patterns of behavior, right? So maybe you sit always the same way at your desk, which is probably like this. I mean, that's all of us. That's all of us. Or you're always on your phone like this. You know, you get into these patterns. Mm-hmm. And your body has a memory because that's how it learns to basically keep you safe. It learns how to hold your muscles in those positions in a way that's going to work for you. But the problem comes when you then, you know, stand up and you need to pull your shoulders back. And all of a sudden these muscles are just tighter. The ones on the back are weak and loose because you've been hunched over for a long time. And you start to develop these patterns of movement and behavior. And what happens with acupuncture is we're trying to sort of re-educate your muscles and also re-educate your energetic flow, the way I was talking about it before, to avoid pain all the time. And so that's something that can take time. And the best analogy that I have for that is basically like exercise, right? If you go to the gym once, you're probably feeling really great. Maybe you look a little bit more toned right away. You feel awesome. But the way that you really get the benefits of that is when you go consistently for a long time, because it re-educates those muscles. So those muscles get stronger, they get bigger because they're aware of the stimulus and they try to adapt to that. And acupuncture does the same thing for your energy. It's helping your body to have the energetic flow move better. It's helping to have your muscles have the, I can see you sitting up straighter now.
By the end of this, I'm going to be like this again. Watch.
But it helps keep your energy sort of exercised into the most healthy pattern. So even if you're feeling better after one session, the best thing to do is actually to keep doing it, because that's how we start to re-educate your body to be in a healthier place all the time. With our app, like, that's one of the really, really great things about the app is, you know, I don't know why you quit your acupuncture membership, but the app is like super portable. It's in your phone. It's so easy and you can do it every day or as you need, every couple days, once a week. To sort of keep your body in tip-top shape all the time.
Yeah, I saw, I think in the app, it even reminds you just 5 minutes out of your day. Am I right? It mentions that, just 5 minutes a day dedicated to this.
So in Chinese medicine, we think of the mind and body as really being one. That's how it should be in all medicine. That unfortunately is not always how it is in medicine. And our mental health is very closely tied with our physical health. And vice versa, our physical health can be very closely tied with our mental health. And so one of the things that acupuncture can do is it can help sort of both improve that connection and also improve your bodily health to improve your mind and improve your mind to improve your bodily health. One of the things we talked before is how much, you know, stress and anxiety and trauma can play out in your body, because our body really stores everything that happens to it. Everything that happens to our body, it's learning and it's getting smarter on how to protect you. And, you know, particularly when we talk about trauma, there's, you know, there's emotional trauma, there's physical trauma, and all of those cause the energy in your body to stop moving. So it causes it to stagnate. And that was what I was talking about before. When things are flowing, it's healthy. When they get stuck, that's when problems happen. Yeah. So signs that your energy might not be moving, particularly as it relates to trauma, is going to be things like tight neck and shoulders. It's going to be things like digestive issues that could be constipation or diarrhea or alternating constipation and diarrhea or bloating. And none of those things are, they're all sort of subclinical. You know, that's not something where you're necessarily going to go to your doctor and say, hey, I've been bloated every now and then after I eat. But that's something that's giving us more information about what's happening with your body.
You tell your doctor, hey, I've been bloated. What are you eating? I'm eating this. Stop eating that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly, which isn't always the most helpful.
It hurts when I do this, so don't do that.
And we've got a little bit more answers for you. And I think, you know, with your gut in particular, I think it's 90% of your serotonin is stored in your gut. So that's really the source of, they call your gut your second brain. And so that and your mind are so closely related. And we had talked before sort of about trauma when we were talking before actually doing this podcast. And when it comes to trauma, we talk about there's like big T trauma, which is something really horrible and specific happens to you in a really specific catastrophic event. And then there's little T trauma, which is just the little stressors that we go through every day that can build up. And those can be a variety of things. That could be, you know, someone at work who's like repeatedly a little bit verbally abusive to you. It could be, you know, not feeling comfortable or safe in your home environment, or just, you know, when you go out, you know, if you walk, for me, it's like, if you walk at night and you're just kind of like looking around all the time, And those little things build up in our body, because if you think about that, when you're under stress, like, do you hold your body differently? Like, do you walk a little bit differently? Are you a little bit tense? Mm-hmm. And that's something that doesn't just happen in our muscles in a conscious way. It also happens in our internal organs and how they're using blood flow and how they're using resources. Because when you're under stress like that, even when it's just a little bit of stress, your body's kind of always ready to run away if it needed to. And when that happens for a long period of time, it sort of shifts the baseline of where your like stress level is. And so ideally what happens is you go through sort of these different zones of arousal. There's like the low level where you're super relaxed, you're hanging out at home and you're just like having a glass of wine and reading a book. And then there's way up here where you are literally ready to run away at a moment's notice. And in between those two is what we call the zone of resilience. And so this is ideally where you are, and you kind of like go up and you're really stressed out, but then you can recover and it's just fine. And then you're just fine. And then you can go back up and you always sort of stay between these really healthy zones. But what can happen is if you're constantly just a little bit stressed, the like baseline goes up and up and up. I hope people are watching this visually, because I feel like my hand signs are an important piece of this. And when your baseline comes up, then those peaks get higher and you start to get out of the healthy zone. And when you start getting out of healthy zone, that's when your body can start to suffer some really negative repercussions of being under stress for a long period of time. And that can play out in a lot of different ways. One of the most common ones is like heart disease, chronic migraines, and chronic digestive issues. So what acupressure can do is it can help sort of regulate your body back down into this more relaxed state. So even as you get more elevated, sort of as your baseline, it can bring your baseline down and keep you into a healthier place. It can also help your body to process these emotional traumas that get stored. A really common place for people to metaphorically store trauma is in their hips. And so a lot of people will have
really tight...
yeah. Why have you never hips? Heard that before? Why no, the hips? You Why? Have a few muscles in there. So this is a little bit less Western. This is a little more theoretical. But we think about different body parts as being related to different emotions and different energies. And so your hips have a few muscles that are energetically just very closely associated with your emotional state and stress. And particularly, there's one called your psoas. Have you ever heard of your psoas?
Psoas? No, I've not. No.
It's P-S-O-A-S, you know, like pterodactyl with the sign.
P-S-O-A-S.
Psoas. And it goes right through basically the inside of your hips. And for a lot of people, they'll notice that their hip flexors get really, really tight. And something that happens really commonly during acupuncture treatments and also acupressure is if you do something that helps to release the psoas, people will just start to cry. And they'll say like, I don't know why I'm crying. They start crying. And it
like,
just
like tears
like
or just
literal like, physical. I mean, depends on the person. I've seen some pretty extreme, like complete tears. And so we do points that help to open the hips and open the chest, which is another place where people hold sadness. They hold sadness in their chest and more of that like anxious, stressful, like danger stuff in their hips. And when you release those, people will literally start like crying. Some people hysterically crying. And often they won't know why they're crying. They're just crying because their body needed this emotional release. And then after crying, they feel so much better because it just needed to get out. And I think that we in the West are also not great at expressing like negative emotions. You know, it's okay to be happy. It's okay to be in like a really great mood. It's okay to be joking around. And it's not always okay to not be okay. And that could be like anger, that could be sadness. And so what we do instead of fully feeling and, you know, working through those emotions, it was we just take it and we just shove it in our hips and go, I'm going to deal with that later. And then people develop hip issues because their muscles have literally tightened from the stress of holding this emotional weight for years and years and years.
Wow. The hips don't lie after
all. The hips don't lie. They certainly do not. And if nothing else, everybody should go home and stretch their hips and sort of like, if you want to get real hippy dippy with it, like do some hip opening yoga poses and feel sort of what emotions might come up in your body and try to be very open to that because it is a very hippy dippy thing to say, like, go stretch your hips and see how you feel emotionally. But really, like, you know, go in like a quiet space, open your hips and see just where your mind naturally goes. And it might surprise you. And people cry in yoga classes too all the time. I don't know if you've ever been in a yoga class where someone cries.
There was a time that I would go to yoga classes every Saturday down when I lived in Miami. And it was this gorgeous setting. We were always outside by the bay. It was always very calm, peaceful, windy. It was a huge group of people, anywhere between like 50 to 100. And the last couple of times I've been to yoga, and I don't know if it's the instructor, if it's me, but they just know how to like lead people through meditation where they get you really deep in your thoughts. Or maybe that's just like me going really deep in my thoughts. So I remember the last time I went to yoga in this group, the instructor was like, we were all sitting up, you know, with our hands resting on our laps, and the instructor saying, all right, slowly begin to wake up, but keep your eyes closed. And I want everyone to think of someone that they love.
Oh my God.
Smile at them. And I was like, thinking of my cats. And then I just started crying, you know? I don't want to look like an idiot. So I was just like hiding. I put my sunglasses on immediately. I'm like, that was great. That was great.
But I bet you felt so much better.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like that time and then some other time that I maybe cried. And it's funny because it was during those times that I really went all into the poses, and I was like deepening my stretches and really focusing on my breathing and whatnot. And those sessions were way more intentional. And I was also going through a bunch of other stuff. So I don't know. But yeah, I cried. And all she said was, think of someone you love, now smile at them. Now picture them smiling back at you. I'm just, my cats.
And it was just your cats.
I love that.
You know, I also, this might just be me, but have you ever used the Peloton app?
I have not used the Peloton app, but I've gone to spinning classes where the instructors, they like very motivational. And I'm like,
yeah, the Peloton app has these outdoor runs. And by the end of the run, I'm like so emotional. I'm like, I can do it. You're so right. Because it just like takes you to this whole other place than you normally are. And I think it's just that, you know, that physical exertion, you're getting blood moving, you're getting your chi moving. Oh, yeah. And it's just creates a release on multiple levels, which is great.
It is great. I've like, even the couple of times that I've gone to spinning classes, the instructors, you know, towards the end, you did this, you owe it to yourselves, like going on and on and on, and I'm like, enough. And then it gets to a point where I just break and I'm like, I'm overcome.
Sometimes it's great, and then I'll come home and I'll try to tell my husband like what they said that was like so deeply impactful to me, and then I'll say it out loud and I'm like, oh, that's really cheesy. I should not say that to people. Yeah, you had to be there.
You had to have
climbed the mountain with me.
You had to struggle. I cry so easily during movies. I'm a sucker for it, but it's so therapeutic too, and I feel like afterwards every time it's a huge release. And like, you know, sometimes I have to watch movies next to friends or like, you know, guy friends, and it's like a really sad movie. I have to hold it up like, oh gosh, this is definitely going to my hips, I guess. So,
yeah, I mean, I think men in particular are not taught to emote the same way that women are, because women, it's much more socially acceptable. Like if I cried in a movie with my friends, like nobody, they just like, ugh, Katie, she's just crying over there. But yeah, like, it's really, yeah. But like so many men are taught from a very young age that they shouldn't be emoting that way. And that's a really hard thing to like unprogram. Even if you get older and you know, learn that it's important for you to cry and it's important for you to feel your emotions, it's a really hard thing to change.
No, it is. I'm reading this book, and it talks about the journey for a lot of homosexual men. And how through life, we, from a very young age, you know, we're dealing with the trauma of trying to understand the world around us and trying to understand why we're bullied, trying to understand why our parents are being harsh on us about our mannerisms and the way that we act and whatnot, especially if you grow up, you know, being a little flamboyant or feminine like I was. and you never really understand why or what's wrong with your behavior. And that sticks with you as you grow up. And it's part of the trauma that we still hold on to, even as adults, where we fear coming out. We fear being in certain environments because we know what the repercussions of us being in certain environments may be. And I feel like us, you know, we're always under some sort of attack. We're always, you know, worried about like, oh shit, you know, we're walking in a dodgy side of town. Like, let me walk with a little less sway in my hips. You know, I'm walking into a barber shop. Let me deepen my voice a little bit, you know, and those kinds of things. And we react to these things because they're stressors for us. And trauma has taught us that we shouldn't feel safe in these environments. So going back to what you were saying about trauma, I think that if, you know, it's worth finding ways to deal with that trauma. I mean, many people go to a therapist. But I wholeheartedly believe in, after everything that you're telling me and sharing with us and how we store our energy and how that trauma builds up and all that other stuff, I do think it's important to get to the root of these issues that we have, and for us to be able to overcome these things and have healthy relationships with ourselves, and more importantly, so that we can have healthy relationships with the people around us.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's exactly like what I was talking about with little T trauma, where it's those, I mean, and sometimes big T trauma, unfortunately, where like you just learn to behave in a way that's not in alignment with yourself. And it's something that even, you know, once you unlearn it, there are maybe still situations where you feel like you have to go back to that person who isn't you, but you know, you feel you have to for like safety or for whatever, or you just don't feel comfortable being in the world in the way that you should be. And our bodies internalize that. And it's something that does build up over time, where we just want to make sure that we're sort of maintaining that. Because, and well, I wish we could solve the world so that that's not a way that you have to behave.
Everyone like, get acupuncture right now.
Seriously, the world would be such a better place if everybody got acupuncture. Like, and I mean, that's what we're trying to do, is make everybody get acupressure, because it just, there's so many unhealed people in this world making it miserable for others. I think that one of the most like powerful things that I learned in acupuncture school was, when you're an acupuncturist, you really hear everybody's like deepest, darkest stories, because it's really important for us to understand the context of where you're coming from and the context of, you know, what's happening in your body. And that often goes hand in hand with learning about, you know, traumatic things that have happened to you or the way that your life has played out. And the thing that really struck me when I first started in school was how much every single person who came in, and even if they walked in looking like, you know, the happiest, most well-adjusted person, like everybody has something, and everybody has something going on with them, and everybody has something dark and terrible. And it really made me a much more compassionate person, because then you see somebody on the street who maybe, like, you know, you're in a car and they cut you off, or they don't hold the door for you. They don't say thank you when you do hold the door. They shove you, like, and it just, it's never a reflection of you or how you're behaving in that world. It's like, I think a lot of people just are inherently like in their own head, and not even self-centered, just like everybody has their own shit going on. And it can make you accidentally cruel to people in a way that you don't mean to be. And when someone is accidentally cruel to you, I think that the healthier question than like, why did that happen to me, is like, what is going on with them that's the way that they needed to talk to me? Because people who are comfortable with themselves and people who are confident in who they are and in their own life, they're not mean to other people. Like, being mean to someone else is a way to just take your own insecurities and throw them elsewhere. And it's everybody would be better off with more acupuncture to heal their own trauma and wounds.
Within the gay community particularly, everyone is so mean, and it's taken a lot for me to be able to understand why. And I'm not trying to turn this into a therapy session for anyone that's listening, but you know, it's interesting to understand exactly what you just said. Where is this behavior coming from? And a lot of people project their emotions onto other people, and they find other ways to they develop a superiority complex, for example, where they think, oh, you know, I'm wearing the latest design of things. I'm better than everyone else in the function right now. Or I look the best, or I got all the Botox, or my boyfriend is the richest man, like whatever the case may be. It's a syndrome of being gay. And one thing that I've learned through the years, I actually learned this in yoga. It was one of those like long speeches that the instructor was giving at the end while we were in meditation. And she goes, you can't change people. You can only change the way that you interact with them. If you have a coworker that only likes communicating through email, don't show up at the coworker's desk unannounced. You know, everyone has their shit. And it's so important to understand that, like you said, you know, you cut me off while driving. All right, you're go ahead, cut me off. I don't care. Just stay the fuck away from me. Where was I going with this? Yeah, everyone get fucking acupuncture, acupressure, get your life and get your shit together, because I'm so
get your shit together. We need everybody to get their shit together.
enough. We have 3,000 years of science backing this shit up. Hello.
That is get true. On it. It is so true. And I will also just add, I think that, you know, to be kind in those scenarios, and like, especially if your gut reaction is like, you know, someone cuts you off, just be like, fuck you, like, go away, you know, like, and get really angry back. If you can take your own reaction, and rather than have that really extreme thing, go like, why is that my reaction? Like, why is that where I want to go? And have a moment of introspection there. And sometimes when you're kind to people, when they're really being rude to you, I think it has much more of an impact, because it's not what they're expecting. And then they feel like a dick for being a dick. And you kind of just put it right back on them, which is both great revenge and also makes you look like a better person. So
kill them with kindness.
Exactly.
So what a lot of us within our age group have a hard time accepting is that we're getting older. And I'm talking about us in our early 30s or late 20s. We're getting older. Yeah. Our bodies are changing. We're not going to see it, but there are certain like things that happen that we may not have an explanation for it, and we just think, oh, we're getting older. But what I've learned in the past is that a lot of these things we can slow down. Things like testosterone depletion or testosterone replacement therapy and all these other things to help us, in particularly men, and you know, reducing the chances of us losing our hair, increasing our sex drive, libido, and all that other stuff.
I think that we like to attribute a lot of things to getting older that are sometimes getting older and are sometimes just the cumulative damage of all of the questionable decisions we've maybe made when we were younger. And from that perspective, there are a lot of things you can do to slow it down. And I also think just important to stop thinking about yourself as being old. I think that that's a big piece of it too. Because we are only as old as we think that we are. They also have studies on that. But for hormonal balance, when you're young, we think about kids as being really young in nature. So yin and yang is sort of the essential duality of Chinese medicine. And it's probably concepts you've maybe heard of before. It's got like the cool symbol that's like white and black. And yin is like...
It has meaning now. I never understood. I thought it was just like balance.
Yeah, no, we can talk about what the symbol means too, but yin is like cool and dark and nourishing. It's the black in the yin yang. And then the white is yang, which is light and bright and energetic and fiery. And so you might notice in that symbol, you've got equal parts of the black and white. And then each of them also has a dot of the other. And the reason for that is because they're constantly moving and changing together, and they turn into one another. And so they are always in flux, and ideally they're always in balance. And so when we're young, we're very, very young. So if you think about little kids, they like run around and they're like doing this and then they're doing that and they're like yelling and they're jumping and they just have so much energy. And then the older we get, sort of the more naturally yin we become. And when you think of older people, they tend to like go to bed really early and they're tired and they speak really quietly. They just become more yin. And that's sort of the natural progression through life. But what we want to do is sort of prolong as much as possible our yang, as much of the yang as we have in our body. And so when we think about things like a lot of the changes that we consider with getting older, like losing your hair, like maybe losing some of that sex drive, that's all related to having more yin. And so one of the things that we can do is try to help to balance yin and yang in our lives, because what happens when we're young is we sort of burn out and we work really, really, really hard, and you go to the gym super hard, and you like constantly on like social media and like working and taking meetings and like not sleeping. And all of these things are very, very yang activities, and you start to use up your yang a little bit faster than you maybe should. So something that can help a lot with that is just balancing your life. So bringing in more yin related activities. So yin activities are going to be more sort of quiet and contemplative. So things like yin yoga, reading a book, taking a nap, and just spending time being quiet. And a lot of what we do in the West that we even think of as being a yin activity, so things you do to relax, are actually yang. So it would be like, you know, binge watching Netflix or like scrolling Instagram. Even though you're sitting still and you feel like you're decompressing, you're still consuming and consuming and consuming, and it requires a lot from your body. So yeah. One of the things that I'm constantly coaching people to do is like think about your life and how many of your activities in the last like 24 to 48 hours have been yang, so are energy consuming, versus yin, which are energy generating. And for most people, that balance is not 50-50. And it's, and I know, because we were talking about your weekend, that your balance was probably not 50-50 over the weekend. Yeah, and it doesn't have to be exactly 50-50, but anything you can do to help bring things back into this yin state is going to be really helpful. So what acupressure can do is also help to rebalance this yin and yang. It can help to nourish yin in your body, and it also creates this really great opportunity for you to have this moment that's more quiet and contemplative and is a yin activity, but is also using points to literally supplement in that in your body as well. So this can help a lot with hormonal balance, particularly as we're getting older. The way I had mentioned a little bit about hormonal balance for trans people, that was a little bit of a different topic in that we can work with hormonal balance as a whole, related but unrelated. And so the way that that works is typically more related to how your body is creating hormones. And so we can do things to help with your liver's process, to help with detoxification. So if someone is on supplemental hormones, helping those to behave maximally in their body while helping them to expel anything that is excess, which can help a lot with the side effects. And it can also help a lot with fertility, if that's something that someone is interested in as well, in terms of balancing those hormones to optimize the chances of conception.
Oh, okay. I think that the further we can expand on the health benefits of acupressure altogether, like it's definitely worth it. I mean, so many people through the years have experimented with fad diets and all kinds of shit and all kinds of funky treatments to get them to be healthy and whatnot. And that's exactly what these things are. They're fad diets. Then research shows, like a couple years after this fad diet peaked, turns out it didn't work after all. And you're not really drinking any weight loss fat burning teas, because guess what? You can't really burn fat or whatever. I don't know. But these things come out all the time. But yeah. Going back to it, you know, the whole thing on this being a practice that's been around for about 3,000 years, and it's been proven, scientifically proven to work and all this other stuff, you know, it's definitely worth getting into.
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, at the very least, like, what is there to lose by trying something new, even if it still feels foreign or different to you? Yeah. Because the vast majority of people try it and can feel the benefits. The same way you said you went to an acupuncturist and you maybe weren't so sure at your first appointment. And then you feel the benefits, and then it's sort of undeniable. And it's more when it's in this like scary gray, I don't know anything about this area, that it can seem really foreign. And so I think we've tried really hard to present everything in the app in a really approachable way from a Western perspective. We try to explain everything really clearly and help you to understand it from more of a Western lens, because I think to jump in with a totally different language than you're used to and understanding how it's working can be really difficult.
Before we go, are there any like little demos you can show us?
Yeah.
Did you bring the model foot that I told you to bring?
I didn't. I couldn't find a model foot.
Oh, great. Fine.
Apologies. I'm not putting my feet on the internet.
You have to pay for that.
You're going to have to pay for that. But yeah, we could definitely do, let's do a little acupressure session. I think after everything we were talking about in terms of trauma, it maybe makes sense for us to do one that's going to help a little bit with emotional regulation and clearing. Does that sound good?
Sounds great. Let's do it.
Great. Okay. So let's start with, I'm not going to try to make you cry like your yoga teacher, but we're going to start with,
I love crying, by the way. So if you make me cry, by all means.
Okay. Okay. But maybe we'll start with like a quick little grounding session. So I'm going to have you just, are you sitting in a chair with your feet on the floor?
Both feet are on the floor now.
Both feet are on the floor. Okay. So have a seat in your chair and we'll put both feet on the floor and then I'm going to have you just close your eyes. Mm-hmm. And I want to start by having you just imagine your spine straightening out and feel almost like there is a cord sort of coming up out of the top of your skull and it's going to be lifting up to the sky. Mm-hmm. And just take a deep breath. And then exhale it out. And then simultaneously just bring your attention to the bottom of your feet. And I want you to feel the bottoms of your feet sort of anchor into the ground beneath you. And feel that really rest firmly into the ground to create like a solid base for you. And I want you to start to visualize roots growing out of the bottom of your feet down into the earth. And feel yourself sort of suspended in this place in between the earth and the sky. And as you breathe, I want you to feel your inhales really expanding your rib cage out. So breathing deep into your belly and expanding your whole torso. And as you exhale, it's going to all contract back together. And so we'll do a little bit of a breathing exercise here. So I'm going to have you breathe in for three. We're going to hold for three, and then we'll breathe out for three. So breathe in, two, three, hold it, two, three, and exhale, two, three. Inhale, two, three, hold it, two, three, exhale, two, three. Inhale, two, three, hold it, two, three, and exhale, two. And so now I want you to bring your attention to the webbing in between your thumb and your index finger on your left hand. And I'm going to demonstrate this for anybody who's watching at home, but you guys don't worry about putting your hands in front of the screen. And so we're going to put some pressure. You can pinch with your thumb and index finger of your right hand just directly into the webbing there. And I want you to press firmly. And you can even rub this in little counterclockwise circles. And we're going to stay here for just a few seconds. It might be a little bit tender in here. And that tenderness is actually a really good sign. That means that your body has some stagnation in that point that needs to come out. And then we'll switch to the other side. So on your right hand, in the webbing between your thumb and your index finger. And you can use your thumb and index finger to just pinch here, rubbing in little counterclockwise circles. This point is really wonderful for moving energy everywhere in your body. So it's great for headaches, which we talked about before, but it also opens the flow of energy through your head, neck, and chest, which is where we store a lot of sadness. Great. And then the next point we're going to do is going to be on the inside of your wrist. And Jonathan, if you want to open your eyes for this, you're welcome to, but we're going to take three fingers down from your wrist crease. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to go right in between the two tendons that you can feel there. And we'll press firmly here for another couple seconds. And again, you can rub with your eyes closed if you like, or with your eyes open. And this point helps to move energy through our chest. It helps to release any of those stored, stuck emotions. It also helps to calm your heart. And so we'll switch to the other side. So three fingers down from your wrist crease and then in between the two tendons. In Chinese medicine, we think about the heart as housing the mind. And what that means is that when you have stress or anxiety, you always feel it in your heart. And you might have felt that in terms of, you know, a racing heart when you feel really stressed out. And what this point does is help to calm that energy and move it. Next, we're going to bring your attention to the center of your chest. And if you feel right on your sternum, just in between your nipples, sorry for the word nipples.
It's okay. Wait, my nipples are here. Okay, right there.
Right in the middle, right on the breastbone there. Mm-hmm. And just rub in little circles. And when you rub this one, feel how your breath might begin to deepen. This point helps to open the lungs. We think of the lungs in Chinese medicine as being associated with sadness or grief. We also, when we're under stress or when we're experiencing trauma, we tend to breathe more shallowly. And this point helps to counteract that by letting us breathe really deeply. And as you rub here, just visualize every inhale really bringing energy deep down into your abdomen. And then the last point we're going to do is actually in the center of both temples. And you can rub this on both sides simultaneously. And this is one a lot of people rub intuitively when they're stressed out or when they have a headache.
Guilty.
Yeah. But that's your body really just telling you what it needs, because this point is really wonderful for helping to relieve stress and helping how your body physically processes stress and trauma. We'll stay here for just a couple more seconds. Then you can take your hands down. You can wiggle your fingers a little bit. They sometimes get a little crampy after doing some acupressure. And that's a very quick acupressure session. And those are points you can use anytime that you're, you know, feeling stressed to help in the moment, or after you're feeling stressed to help recover from it. I find those are also really great points to do if you have like a stressful meeting that you need to prepare for and get centered before you head in with your boss or whoever it's with.
No, and it's, I think it's the, what you just showed us is great because they're very discreet things that you can do like underneath the desk or mm-hmm. wherever you are, and you don't have to worry about people thinking, what is he doing, you know? So I think that's great. I mean, what drew me to, you know, by the way, I stumbled upon these wonderful people via Instagram, and I saw that one of the many meme pages that I follow had posted something on managing like dealing with motion sickness. And me, I get dizzy all the time in the backseat of a car, if I'm on a roller coaster, if I turn around too fast. I don't know. I was saying how after I had discovered them and this infographic that pointed out like places for you to apply pressure on your body, I was sitting in the back of a cab one night, a couple nights ago, And I just started applying pressure to those areas and my motion sickness went away, amazing. Which I thought was like magical. I was like, oh my gosh, this is great. I think one of the points was the same one that you had just demonstrated, like right in between your chest.
Yeah, between the nipples, this guy.
And then I think there was one, like, I'm going to show a foot.
Do it. Oh, look at you. You're so flexible.
Well, you...
on the front of your chin.
Yeah. I was doing that one all night long while sitting in the back of the cabin. I was like, I don't feel like I'm going to throw up now. So
that's also a really great point. Sorry, I digress talking about points for a while, but that point on the front of the shin, the one that you're talking about, I'll just explain for everybody at home. It's the width of your palm. So these four fingers down from your kneecap. And then one finger breadth to the outside of your shin. On most people, this point's a little tender. So if you kind of just poke around there, you'll probably find a tender spot. That point, it's called leg 3 mile. And the reason that it's named that is because in ancient China, warriors would have these belts with like stones on them. And maybe it wasn't stones, some sort of heavy thing hanging on it. And when they got tired, they would like lean over at the waist. And those stones would hit this point on their leg and it would give them the energy to walk 3 more miles. It's also, I know, it's also a really, isn't that a great story? All of the points have these really beautiful, like poetic names that tell us a little bit about their history and what they do. And that point is also really wonderful for your immune system. It's really wonderful for building energy. And it's really wonderful for restoring yang that we were talking about before. So if you feel like you're losing your hair or your libido is low or you're generally worried about aging, there is a theory in Chinese medicine that if you massage that point every day, you will never die. And I cannot promise you that that is true, but I'm just saying there's no harm in trying.
Well, not that I don't want to die, but I also don't want to live forever. So
yeah. Well, you've already not done it every day for, you know, probably the majority of your life up until this point.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. All right. Well, guys, this was amazing. Thank you so much for coming on to the show and talking about the app and talking about acupressure and acupuncture and the many health benefits. And there are so many things that are unknown about the body, but hey, we're talking about 3,000 years worth of medicine and science and studies that shows that, hey, you know what? This stuff actually works. Thank you for the guided meditation and acupressure session. I think that that was great. And I hope that everyone listening actually did it and felt good after doing it.
Thank you so much for having us. This has been great.
So there you have it. I'm hoping that you all enjoyed this episode and that you're all walking away with an interest in acupressure. Like I mentioned, I gave my own testimonials on acupressure and my brief history with it. It works. It's not some bullshit thing. It works. It's pretty effective. So get into it. Be sure to check out the Moxa app in the App Store. It's not available yet on Android devices. Sorry. Anyway, again, thanks for tuning in. Please, 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 please make sure to review the podcast. No matter what platform you're listening on, these reviews help the podcast get out there in front of new listeners, new audiences, new fans, all that good shit. Leave a review. Tell me how amazing you think the podcast is or how shitty you think it is. I don't know. I'm open to all of it. Anyway, that's all I got for you. Hoping you enjoyed. See you next time. Bye.